What's good and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 8th. I'm Andrea Renee alongside the verified one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. Very good to be back with you.
I know, it's been a while. Like a year. It hasn't been that long. Well, it's been since last year. It does feel like it's been an extensively long break. It's been
three weeks? Yeah.
Something like that?
Wow. You ready for a good one?
Yeah, I am looking forward to the new 10 a.m. time slot.
Mm-hmm.
First day, got here a little bit later than I wanted to, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's hard to get used to.
Well, because now when I drive up, I hit that morning rush hour traffic here in the Bay Area. So thanks for that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You know, it's for the people. For the people.
It's all for the wonderful children that are watching. So, of course, if you guys...
Hey, Andrew, really quick.
Just a heads up.
We should have a conversation about what time you're coming in, because you got lucky today.
No, I texted Tim ahead of time to be like, is somebody going
to
be there?
Worst person to text about coming in early.
Yeah, I learned that because he showed up 7 minutes before we were supposed to go live today.
Hey, I knew things were going to be taken care of. But to be clear, I heard you guys talking yesterday saying you were going to be here at 9.
It was all a perfect storm. I don't think any of it was on purpose.
Or maybe, since I've been here for a long time now, you could trust me with a key.
It was fake.
Get her a key.
Something to think about.
Hashtag get Andrew a key. I want everyone to have keys. You get a key. Does Barrett have a key?
I hope I do. I somehow got myself in here today.
No, you didn't. I got you in. I was here first.
Kevin, is there anything else that you would like to tell me before I can continue on with the show that we're doing right now?
I mentioned this earlier, but your hair looks dope.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, should we start over? I don't know what to do now.
Get right into it. Get into the flow. You can do your rigmarole.
Okay, the rigmarole. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, your source for nerdy video game news in the morning, each and every weekday here at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or on podcast services around the world. If you guys want to be part of the show, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and join that bronze tier. That's all it takes. And you can submit your questions each and every weekday. And don't forget, it's just like old times.
Mm-hmm.
We need you guys to come back every day that we're on the show and submit your questions. And because we are, you know, have a little bit of a smaller pool of people, we can take some extra time to read through some questions. So, you know,
give everyone that sweet, nasty time.
It's
a beautiful thing. And also with the silver tier, you can get the show ad free. That's a whole fun thing. The reason we're doing this, it's Kinda Funny's 4th anniversary. We've been doing a whole fundraising thing. We did a long live stream the entire month of January. All the money we make on patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames additional in the month of January will go towards all of our funding for our shows and content in the first half of 2019 and a whole bunch of meet and greets and stuff. We're well on our way towards our goal of going to London. Which is really crazy and really cool. So thank you very much for all that support. Today we're brought to you by Quip and Hims, but we'll talk to you about that later.
For now, let's get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Ooh, interesting. I don't know how I feel about that, Barrett.
First ever little Roper's Report.
I was nervous, okay?
Kevin didn't like it.
It was my first one. I was nervous. I'll get better.
We'll pull up some old school audio files for you to take some notes from.
This is a good show, Andrew. I feel like me and you, we're just like, let's try to get through this. It's a beautiful Tuesday. Day morning. It's going to be great.
Exactly.
Let's get to that news.
How many
stories we got?
We got 3 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Perfect. See, you're nailing it.
Okay, I liked that.
First up, PlayStation 4 sales have surpassed 91.6 million units worldwide after the strong holiday season.
Jesus Christ.
That's so many.
That is insane. And there are so many more cool numbers in here.
So this press release was sent directly from Sony Interactive Entertainment last evening, and they say that they have announced their new sales milestone for the PS4, cumulatively sold through more than 91.6 million units globally as of December 31st, 2018. Within the above number... Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's really impressive. PS4 has sold through more than 5.6 million units globally during the 2018 holiday season specifically.
I love that these are sold through numbers.
Right,
they're not shipped numbers. They're not like just any weird ass blown up like averages that they're putting out there to make things sound deceiving. They're like, no motherfuckers, 91.6 million units have been sold.
Yep, and so the reason we got these numbers, just so you guys are aware, is because the Consumer Electronics Show is happening happening this week in Las Vegas. So this was part of Sony's Kevin's like carnival dream show. When's the last time you went to CES?
I've never been.
What?
The bastards will take me.
Oh my gosh, can we like start a GoFundMe to bring Kevin to CES next year?
Making a lot of sense.
Let's put it on Kind of Funny 5.0 stretch
during,
goals, okay?
It'll probably be happening during 5.0. I don't know.
It'll be fine. We can go afterwards.
Kevin doesn't deserve nice things.
It'll be great. Moreover, more than 50.7 million PS4 games were sold through globally during the 2018 holiday season, which sums up to 876 million PS4 games cumulatively sold through worldwide as of December 31st, 2018. That is a staggering number. Mm-hmm. Almost 1 billion PS4 games.
Wow.
Cumulatively sold. Marvel Spider-Man, which we already know had a great fall, launched in September, has sold through more than 9 million copies worldwide as of November 25th. Now, it's interesting that they don't include the December sales number, and I'm not quite sure why.
That is weird.
They're included in the other numbers, because I have to imagine during
Black
Christmas
Friday,
gift giving. Right.
All that stuff.
Well, through November 25th, we covered Black Friday.
Was that Black Friday?
Yeah, so Black Friday, I believe, was November 22nd? Mm. Hold on. Don't you wrong me. I'm literally looking it up right now. 23rd, November 23rd.
November 23rd. Okay, cool. So we'll count that. Uh-oh.
That's our siren.
9 million copies of Spider-Man sold. Like, that is really putting the game in almost an upper... another echelon when it comes to first-party titles, especially given it's only been 3 months, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, imagine where that game's going to end up in a couple of years. Like, so this means that it's already outsold God of War, but that's to be expected given the rating of M on God of War. And
true.
In addition to that, having
also Spider-Man versus Spider-Man. Kratos as lead characters. I mean, Spider-Man's always going to outsell... because it's Spider-Man.
Year of the Spider-Man.
Sony crazy. Did announce earlier this year that it is the number one selling PlayStation exclusive game of all time. Mm-hmm. So big ups to Insomniac Games and Marvel for doing such a fantastic and stellar job with that. I mean, nothing but good things to say about Spider-Man. And if you haven't checked it out yet and you own a PlayStation 4, can't tell you how much you should play.
The highest selling PlayStation title of all time, was that just first month sales or was that total?
Total.
Is it really?
Yeah, exclusive.
Wow.
That's the
exclusive.
Key.
Exclusive, yeah, okay. Man, that's nuts because even Horizon and those things like Uncharted, those are in the around eight, so
yep.
9 million, man.
Spider-Man beat them.
I love it. See, here's why these numbers are important. They're important because the more consoles are out there, the more money can be made from games. More games can be made at bigger budgets and like more correctly. There's so much. It's just good for the economy of the industry that we're in.
Absolutely. Sales from a game like Spider-Man or sales from a game like God of War help fund games like Dreams, right? Because we know that Dreams is never going to come close to these numbers because of the type of game it is, but it's such an amazing piece of art and doing something incredibly innovative that I love that Sony's willing to take a risk to propel that art forward, and they can do it because of the successes of blockbuster games like Spider-Man.
And on the flip side of that, this also proves that it's worth investing in high-quality, super high-budget single-player games like God of War and Spider-Man.
Yeah,
right?
Get out of here with that nonsense about single-player is dead. Every time somebody brings that up, I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah. Get a PlayStation 4, dude.
Yeah.
Exactly. So John Cadera made a statement. Of course, he's the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment. He said, thanks to the continued support from our fans during the holiday season, we are pleased to announce the PS4 has reached 91.6 million units globally. We are also happy to announce the monthly active users of the PlayStation Network continues to show strong growth and has surpassed 90 million as of the end of November 2018. I would like to express my deepest gratitude to our passionate community around the globe and our partners for helping us achieve these milestones. This year, we will bring more enhanced experiences to our fans along with a highly anticipated lineup of games that are only possible on PS4. As we look toward the next PS4 milestone, SIE will continue to evolve and we will further expand the platform to deliver the best interactive entertainment experiences to the world. We had a couple people write in, of course, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Mustafa writes, hello, Tim and Andrea. Yesterday, Sony announced the PS4 sold over 91 million units. So my question is, do you think people in the media are not giving the PS4 the credit that it deserves? For example, last month there was articles everywhere about how the Switch is the fastest selling console and the big winner in November, when in reality, the PS4, a 5-year-old console, has outsold the Switch almost every month, including November, throughout the year. So what does the fastest selling console mean if you are still outsold by the competition every time? Anyway, I'm not hating on Nintendo. I just want the PS4 to get the credit it truly deserves.
I mean, in my opinion, it's not like it's a competition of headlines where it's like, just because people are saying the Switch is doing well doesn't mean they're not also saying that the PlayStation 4 is doing well. I feel like for every headline that says that, there is a headline that says the opposite. So
absolutely. I'm with you there. I think it's less about putting down PlayStation or Nintendo and more about celebrating both of them. Mm-hmm. And because the PlayStation has been doing so well for so long, it's becoming a little bit of a tired news story. So from that perspective, Nintendo Switch kind of being the new hotness on the console scene, even though it's been out for a while now, just makes for a better talking point overall.
I think it's also more about the context of the time frame,
right,
that of when it's been out and how fast it's selling is really important. So I think that's being compared to PlayStation 4's earlier days.
Right. So why not? Pete also wrote in and says, with Sony announcing the PS4 sales numbers, to put those numbers into context, I skipped the first part of his because he's going over the numbers again. To put those numbers into context, this is more than the PlayStation 3 sold across its entire run, which was 83.8 million, and more than the PlayStation 2 sold in its first 5 years, which was 87.5 million. Do you think the PlayStation 4 will go on to match the PlayStation 2's staggering lifetime sales of 155 million, or will sales begin to taper off before them? And actually, it's 158 million lifetime sales for the PlayStation 2.
Thanks to those games that came out in the last couple of years. Let's take it back a bit. I think it'll outdo the Wii, which was at...
I had it here, 101.63 million consoles, and it's currently the number 5 best-selling game of all time, with the PlayStation 4 poised to overtake them.
Yeah, I think that's guaranteed. PlayStation 2 is going to be hard because PlayStation 2 had so many benefits going into it, of like it being everyone's first DVD player. But having said that, the Wii had a lot of things going for it too, and a lot of talk about it being like this console that everybody owned, and truly everybody owned it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you weren't a gamer, PlayStation 4, I feel like we're at the point now. We've grown so much from the Wii generation, which was, oh, hey, even your grandma's playing the game, to now everyone plays games. You know, it's like, I feel like we were closer to the word gamer going away than we ever have been, because we don't call people movie watchers. People watch movies. I think that eventually, maybe not next generation, maybe the generation after that, we're not going to have to identify as gamers. It's just, oh, people play games. Like, that's just a thing.
I love your optimism. I really hope that that's true. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I agree with you that the PlayStation 2 came onto the scene in an era where it didn't have as much competition, and it also had an amazing set of technical features. Mm-hmm. So that couple really propelled it to that staggering success.
And a ridiculous library.
Right.
First party and third party and second party, even back then, of just... constant games coming out. And PlayStation 2, like Sony going into that generation, they were just like, yo, we motherfucking got this. Xbox had something to prove. Nintendo was like, and that was when things got real rocky for them for the first time. So they kind of just rocked the hell out of that generation and then totally dropped the ball with PS3.
Well,
but
well, and what's different about today's landscape, most notably versus the Wii or the PS2 era, is mobile gaming and the rise of mobile gaming and how that's really transformed the way that people look at games. So you have some people on the periphery that maybe aren't investing in a console the way that they used to because they're older. Maybe they have kids. Maybe they have job commitments. And they're like, hey, I can't spend the time to sit down on my couch and play a console, but I can play on my phone while I'm on the go. Mm-hmm. So that has also like split the market as well. But congratulations to Sony Interactive for these fantastic numbers. I have no doubt that at this time next year, we're going to get some more impressive numbers after their holiday season.
A couple things I want to bring up before we move on.
Sure.
John Cordero says, this year we will bring more enhanced experiences to our fans, along with the highly anticipated lineup of games that are only possible on PlayStation 4. Not that there's any real surprises here, but we don't know the lineup for 2019. We don't know any single game really that's
yeah, we
coming
do.
Besides
we
Days Gone.
Well, they also announced Dreams for 2019. They didn't give us a specific date, but they gave us a year, and hopefully they'll stick to it, because that game has been in development for a really long time.
I guess that's enough to call it an anticipated lineup, but I feel like this is hinting at least one of the big three of Death Stranding, Last of Us, or Ghost of Tsushima.
Which of those three do you think could maybe be a surprise release this year?
I wouldn't be surprised if any of them did. I don't expect any of them to. Ghost of Tsushima, I feel like that's the biggest wild card where I feel like we don't know how far along that game is
because
they haven't really talked about it too much. Last of Us, I have a feeling, is a lot farther along than people expect. But I think that that game is going to be a much more strategic release when it comes to the PlayStation 5's play of this all. I still think that the game's going to be playable on both systems.
Multi-platform.
And Death Stranding is the biggest question mark of them all. That
is
game
that
could
even
come out tomorrow.
What
that game
that
could
game?
Come out in 10 years. That game could never come out. I don't know. Speaking of that game, and I know I'm going off tangent on tangent on tangent here. I was thinking about this a couple days ago. Metal Gear Solid 5 is a game that I don't think about enough anymore. Because when it comes down to it, it is one of the greatest video games of all time from a gameplay perspective. Story, batshit, stupid. It was dumb. I hated it. So many things about that game didn't like. But the gameplay, the loop, everything about that, 10 out of 10 to me. And I feel like we're going to look back more fondly on that game than we have been the last couple of years.
That is a tangent indeed. I don't know how we ended up there.
The reason I'm going there is I have faith in Death Stranding. Death Stranding looks fucking weird.
So this
weird.
Is coming
we
back to you
what
saying whatever Kojima does, you think will be good.
I think that there is, as weird as it looks and as much little sense as it might make, the game, I have a lot of faith that the game is going to be really good. But I could be wrong.
Let's hope so. Let's all cross our fingers that it's going to be a glorious madness.
Now, and the last thing I want to do before we move
sure,
on
Tim.
Is take a bet.
Oh, okay.
Do you think PS4 will outsell the PlayStation 2?
No.
I don't either. But for sake of the bet, I think it's going to.
So what?
Yeah, Tim.
Who are you betting?
I'm
Does
betting
somebody
you.
Out there believe that it will?
Betting you.
No, I'm not betting you. I don't think it's going to outsell.
No, I'm saying it will.
You saying it will?
Saying it will.
What would you like to bet?
I don't know. What do you want?
What are the terms of the bet?
A pizza.
Yeah, but how many years down the road from now do I have to come back to collect my pizza that I've won?
Oh, wait, that's a good point. You know what? This bet doesn't work. I guess 5 years. I'll give it 5 years.
Okay. You'll still be my friend in 5 years,
yeah.
Huh?
Someone clip this out.
Okay.
Keep it
Thank
for
you.
Prosperity's sake.
Thank you.
Tim's going to owe me a pizza in 5 years.
Within 5 years, the PlayStation 4 will outsell the PlayStation 2.
Okay. I don't think so. Next story, Resident Evil 2's remake is getting a one-shot demo that lets you play the game for just 30 minutes. This write-up comes from Suriel Vasquez over at Game Informer. Capcom has announced a demo for Resident Evil 2 is coming this Friday, but you're not going to want to screw around in this one. The one-shot demo for Resident Evil 2, which hits on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on January 11th and expires on January 31st, has you playing as Liam as he arrives at Raccoon City Police Station in the ultimate worst first day on the job. You have 30 minutes to mow down a few zombies, solve a few puzzles, and get out of the station. Here's the catch. Once the timer expires, you can't play the demo anymore. If you die during the demo, you're free to restart, but that timer carries over between tries. If you beat the demo, you're free to run through it again until the timer expires, but ostensibly, those 30 minutes are all you have. Beating the demo also nets you what Capcom is calling an exclusive trailer only for those who finish the demo. You can watch the trailer as many times as you want. Resident Evil 2 is out January 25th on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
You only got one shot, one opportunity. Mom's spaghetti. I mean, obviously this sounds like it makes sense based on the title of it being one-shot demo. This sounds like it's the same demo we played at E3.
It does sound like that demo.
Even that demo was timed to 30 minutes.
Yes.
I mean, it would just say, thank you.
So they just took the build and put the code out on the internet.
Exciting stuff for people. I'm not replaying this again.
No, I'm not. I mean, I know Britt is like championing at the bit to do it.
She needs it.
If nothing else, just to see this exclusive trailer. Yeah.
Oh, we're so close.
She's ready.
We're so close to that. And then 4 days later, it's real, Andrea.
Yeah.
It's real. Are you a Kingdom Hearts boy, Barrett?
No, but I really do want to check out Kingdom Hearts 3. Okay. I played Kingdom Hearts 2 for IGN at one point to capture a bunch of stuff.
Good.
So I played the entirety of that, so I'm kind of caught up. Not really.
No one's ever really caught up.
I saw a bunch of people on my friends list over the weekend playing Kingdom Hearts. Like 1.5, yeah.
Got to get ready, man. They need to know what Goofy's up to.
Exactly.
getting warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
Story three, Blizzard has quietly confirmed another LGBTQ Overwatch hero. This write-up comes from Ashley O over at Polygon. In a new short story titled Bastet, Blizzard Entertainment confirms that Soldier 76, a.k.a. Jack Morrison, is the second LGBTQ character in the Overwatch universe. Former sniper Ana comes across a wounded Soldier 76 in the streets of Cairo and takes him back to her hideout. It's the first time they've been reunited since the explosion rocked the Overwatch headquarters in Switzerland. Neither of them knew the other one was alive for sure until now. She catches a glimpse of him going through a few photos and sees an old one of him with a dark-haired man named Vincent. The announcement comes a little over 2 years after an Overwatch comic revealed Tracer spending Christmas with her girlfriend Emily. However, if we take a closer look at the same comic, we can make out a panel of Soldier looking at what appears to be the same photograph referenced in the Bastet story. Outside the cinematics, this is the first big chunk of Overwatch lore players have gotten in a while, and also the first time we've seen anything about Soldier's personal life. And a little update to this story, a tweet, because of course, you know, the internet was ablaze after this came out. A tweet from lead writer Michael Chu confirmed that yes, Soldier identifies as gay. He said, quote, Jack and Vincent were in a romantic relationship many years ago. Both identify as gay.
I think that the Overwatch lore is so cool. I love what they're doing with all the little animated movies that they, or animated shorts that they drop constantly throughout the years. I just love this, like, cool narrative that they have going that's just never going to stop. And I can't wait till we get, like, a Pixar-esque Overwatch movie.
That would be really awesome.
Super rad. And on top of that, I just love that there's just representation. Why not?
Exactly.
You know, when you have a cast of characters that large, it's not a surprise a couple are gay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I think Overwatch has been one of the industry leaders in diversity and representation, particularly in a combat multiplayer game. We tend to see representation more in more narrative-focused stories, and that's what I really love about what Blizzard has done with this game, and clearly their community loves it. Now, is there people on the internet that are very upset about this and got their panties all in a bunch? Of course there are. But I would say to you, hey, what Soldier 76 does when he's not on the field probably doesn't concern you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, totally. Who he loves, not your business.
I got another tangent story for you. This is a weird one, but I feel like there's a good end to this story.
Yes. All right? Tell me.
There's this guy that I knew in high school. Didn't go to high school with me, but I knew him from the internet. Like, you know, that's just the thing that we do these days. And he seemed like a cool dude, but then eventually I started seeing him spewing a lot of vitriol. And I was like, ooh, I need to separate from this guy because he was the only person I've ever known to actually be homophobic and use homophobic slurs against gay people.
Yeah, I know. You got to axe him right out of your life.
Ooh, and like I did stop talking. He was not like we were not ever friends to begin with. But the moral of the story is we're still Facebook friends to this day. And yesterday I saw him pop up on my feed and I was like, that's weird. Like something, what's up? And I click on it in a relationship with a guy.
Wow.
And there's a whole bunch of pictures of him and his boyfriend and then like a whole paragraph that was just like, hey, I feel bad for a lot of things that I've done in my life. And I you know, really was resenting what was inside me and all this stuff. I was like, oh, my God, this is some real, real dark shit. You know, it just sucks that we live in a world where people are afraid to be themselves. And I think that things like this really are going to help the future generations not be like that.
I am with you, Tim. I really hope that that's the case, too. And it's kind of a tragic thing that happened with your friend and how he mistreated others, but I'm glad that he's turned over a new leaf and has, you know, rediscovered that it's okay to love who you love.
Love who you love, man. Love is love.
Exactly. That is going to wrap it up for the Roper Report this morning because there's a bunch of tweets over on Kotaku about reactions to this, and some of them are actually pretty funny. So if you guys want to check out the internet reacts to Soldier 76 and his ex-boyfriend, you can head on over to Kotaku.com and check those out.
And his ex-boyfriend.
But Tim,
yes,
it might be some time before the entire world understands the concept of love is love. If we wanted something that was a little bit more immediate, immediate. Like, what's coming to mom and grab shots today? Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Nice work, Barrett. You're on top of it.
On top of it.
Out today, just one lonely game. Megalith is on PSVR and PS4.
Do you know how many games were out yesterday?
Zero, I heard. Zero. That's got to be a first.
Yeah, it's
weird. But something came to the App Store, something not worth playing. All right, new dates. Dead or Alive 6 has been delayed to March 1st. So IGN writes that they've been delayed and developer Team Ninja announced the fighting game was originally set to be released on February 15th. And according to Team Ninja, the extra 2 weeks will be used to further enhance and balance Dead or Alive 6. Game director and producer Yohei Shimbori apologized for the inconvenience caused by the delay. He added the title's development is already near complete. However, we would like to take more time to further polish its balanced gameplay and expressivity. It's all about the boob physics. In return for your patience, we commit to bringing you the best Dead or Alive gaming experience.
Also, one of my favorite stories that happened in the last couple of days was the Devil May Cry dick physics conundrum.
No, I didn't.
Everybody, there was a gif of Dante, and he like does this like magic thing, and then it looks like his dick just like jiggles in his pants.
It's about time we got some dick physics.
That's what everyone was saying, man. That's what everyone was saying. But then it ended up just being like magic, like whatever spell he was casting.
He's got a magic dick.
He got the magic stick. No, like he was like doing a fire blast or some shit, and the like pulse like just looked like that.
Amazing.
But hey, man, we can pray dick physics one day. Although I don't think they'd be that impressive. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm being honest, I don't think many characters are going to have impressive enough dicks that they can have jiggle sure. That's noticeable through jeans. You know,
a lot of growers, not showers.
Real hard for anyone to see anything.
I
really.
Don't know how it devolved into this.
All right, Tim, let's move on.
But talking about Dead or Alive 6, Dead or Alive 6 is such a mind fuck to me because I'm like, okay, first off, that game's not out yet, and second off, that game's still coming out. Like, I loved Dead or Alive 3, and Dead or Alive 1 was like a fun like novelty back in the day.
Yeah.
But like at some point, I'm like, all right, where does this game fit in the pantheon of fighting games that we have now?
In Japan, if it's squarely in Japan. And I think that that's clearly where their biggest audience is. They obviously have audiences around the globe, but it's one of those more cult favorite games that doesn't need to sell even 2 or 3 million copies in order for it to keep getting funded. So
my favorite character was Zack in Dead or Alive 3. When he would start his match, he would do this little dance and go, "It's bitchin'." Well, I was like, all right.
That guy is my guy. Tropico 6 has also been delayed to March. Publisher Calypso Media announced that it is giving developer Limbic more time to incorporate fan feedback into areas such as multiplayer as it moves into a new release date of March 29th. Deals of the day. Big Brain on Brad wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and said, deal of the day, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, Jason Schreier's book, is on sale in the digital formats. Amazon's Kindle, Barnes & Noble's Nook, and Google Play's ebook for just $2.99, down from $10.99. That is quite a discount. So if you guys have always been interested in picking up Mr. Schreier's book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, today might be the day to do it.
Support the homie. Make it happen. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Reader Mail. But before we get to that, let me tell you, Reader Mail is brought to you by Quip. The new year means new resolutions, and we've got one you're working on twice every day. That's right. It's brushing your teeth. It's oral health. The guiding features are like a built-in support system for better brushing. Nick loves his Quip toothbrush. He keeps telling me about it. Gia loves hers as well.
I've actually just started using the toothpaste because they've removed the sodium lauryl sulfate from it and added xylitol. Did you know that?
I didn't. You a big xylitol fan?
Well, xylitol actually is great for antibacterial properties inside your mouth, and you should look for it in a toothpaste. But more importantly, sodium lauryl sulfate gives people like me with a sensitive mouth canker sores. Don't want those.
No, dude. You gotta look out for your oral health.
So I couldn't use it before. Now they've removed it.
Chances are you're brushing your teeth wrong. You stick that thing in there, you shake it around a little bit, and then you take it out and you think you're done. No. 30 seconds each quadrant. But this thing lets you know. This thing pulses in your mouth, lets you know when it's time to move on to the other quadrant. All right. And you might be doing that. You're like, oh, I can time that myself. No, you can't. You don't know what 30 seconds is. What feels like 30 seconds is not 30 seconds.
True.
Quip can help you here. Nick loves his, and that's why over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do too. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. And next up, thank you to Hims for sponsoring the show. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. The thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. That's why there's 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. There are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. That's why Nick loves it. He's been using a lot of these things for years, and this helps him kind of just like stay on that and get it easy. Andy uses it, loves the little gummies they send him. I told the story yesterday, but one of my really good friends over the last couple of years has been losing his hair, got really worried about it, and has been kind of embarrassed. And I was like, he was talking to me, and I like brought this up. He's been using it for the last year and seeing great results. You can order now. Listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily.
Good work, Tim.
Thank you.
So now let's jump into some reader mail. Again, as a reminder, we have changed the way that reader mail works in Kinda Funny 4.0. You need to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, get in at the bronze level or above, and you can submit your questions for the show. So first up, we have got Duarte Rosa, who writes, Spider-Man's numbers continue to impress, and it got me wondering about how long it would take for them to release the sequel. What are the best games with a very short development cycle that you can remember? Love from Portugal, Duarte. This is a really interesting question, because no doubt Marvel and Insomniac have already pitched Spider-Man 2. To PlayStation, right? How could they not? 9 million copies sold. I think everybody wants a little bit more of that action. But what would it take to get that game made? Like, how many years of development? I would say, I mean, we're probably comfortably 4 to 5 years away from another Spider-Man game.
I don't think so.
You think it's quicker?
I think, yeah. I mean, we talked about this a lot on some shows. I don't know. We talk about video games a lot. I feel like we have the city already. I feel like
when you look at not going to move them out of New York, right?
Exactly. When you look at the DLC that they've added and how quickly they added it, and at the level of quality that it was, which I would argue DLC 1 was fantastic. DLC 2 was kind of slow, but I played it right back to back with 3, so I didn't dislike it as much as it seems like a lot of other people did, because 3 was pretty good. And the amount of story they added, the amount of like lore building and world building they did there was really cool. Gameplay is as fun as ever, but it really, to me, shows that like they can create some real quality stuff in a pretty short amount of time. Having said that, we already kind of know story-wise where the game could go based on the ending and post-credit stuff of the first one. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see it on PlayStation 4 and if we see it like within 2 years.
Wow. I'm with you. Yes, bear it with the wow. I'm with you that from a technical perspective, they probably can get this game out the gate a lot quicker than we anticipate. But I'm thinking about it from more of a marketing and PR perspective, that PlayStation has already set up some really big exclusives to come in the next 2 to 3 years. And so where does Spider-Man 2 potentially fit in with that plan? Because you don't necessarily want to cannibalize any other games they might have coming down the pipeline.
I think that what we've seen the last couple of years with Sony is really smart strategic placement of their first party games in a way that they haven't stepped on their own feet at all.
True.
The exceptions to that are things that I honestly feel like they kind of put out to die, like Last Guardian. Why'd that game come out in December?
I feel like that game was going to,
and that's what I'm saying,
to die no matter when
it
came out.
I feel like they kind of just like, we're like, all right, we just got to get this out. So they put it out at that space to not step at all on Horizon coming after that. And then you go down. And when you look at last year, it's like we got Detroit, we got God of War, we got, not in that order, and then Spider-Man. Like, there was a ton of games, and they all kind of had their own breathing room, their own place. We don't have that many games coming down the pipeline for the next. And we're also talking about 2 years. Like, Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima,
right,
Last of Us.
What about Horizon Zero Dawn, the next one?
Is there a sequel confirmed, though?
No, but you got to know that they're working on it, yeah, right?
You also have to think about, like, the when is the PS5 being planned to come out? Because you imagine that Sony also wants to bring out Spider-Man those first couple of years to help sales for PS5 and to have Spidey 2 on the PS5, not on the PS4 again.
Spidey 2, I really feel, is going to be PS4.
PS5.
PS4, I think. And really? Also,
I mean, maybe both.
My biggest thing is, yeah, it's like, I truly believe that the PS5 and PS4 games are going to be the same thing.
Yeah, there's always a little bit of overlap in the first 2 years of the console generation shift. Interesting. 2 years. If I was a betting woman, I might bet you on that.
Bet another pizza!
So many pizzas.
Next question. Ewoks are just dwarf Wookiees, wrote Hannon says.
Cool.
Hey guys, welcome back and congratulations on 4.0 and equipping the Barrett .50 caliber.
Yeah, what's up?
There you go.
Much like Kind of Funny moving to 4.0, my life has gone through some big changes the last couple of months. New job, new car, and moving into a new apartment with my girlfriend.
Hell,
congrats.
Yeah.
Because of all this responsibility, adulting nonsense, getting done, I've decided to treat myself to a PS4. But here's the thing. I can't decide whether to start with Spider-Man or God of War. Would love to get some advice from the Sony Pony and the rest of the KF crew on which one I should go with first. Keep up the good work and can't wait to see what's coming for 2019.
I mean, you really can't go wrong, but I would advise God of War because I feel like that is one of the greatest games of all time.
This is the game of the year for 2018.
Yeah. And it is, there's so much content there, but you don't need to do it all for it to be an amazing experience. You can just go through the story and it's still perfect. But the additional content at the end game is great as well. Whereas Spider-Man is freaking fantastic, spectacular, ultimate, some would say. But I do feel like there's a lot more padding in it, and there's a lot more just to-dos in that game.
I definitely play both if it's in your bandwidth. But if you had to choose, please choose God of War, because there's not been a game like this literally in a generation, and it's one of the most impactful games that I've played in an incredibly long time. And I obviously spoke at length about it last year. It was my personal game of the year. It was What's Good's game of the year. It was the Game Awards game of the year.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that it will go on to win more awards at both the GDC awards that are coming up and, of course, the DICE awards, which Greg Miller is hosting. Don't forget. February 13th, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Tune in with him and Jessica Chobot. So yeah, that's our advice. Saber Midnight writes in and says, howdy, KFGD crew. Why aren't more people talking about how a streaming future could hurt Nintendo and handhelds as a whole? If I can stream next-gen quality games from my laptop browser or my phone, then why fork out $300 for a Switch? Sure, Nintendo could add streaming too, but it's a lot cheaper to buy an Xbox controller that attaches to your phone. Should Nintendo be worried?
No. They will either adapt or adapt in 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you that no. Nintendo has always marched to the beat of their own drum, and they clearly hit an audience that isn't on the cutting edge of technology. Or if they do, they're hitting that target audience after, right? So if you think about who Nintendo is always marketing towards, it's not, you know, the people who are at CES buying the hot new gear right now today, right? Like, that's not their core audience who's stayed with them for decades. So I don't think that they need to do streaming, and I would actually argue that they shouldn't, because if you look at the style of games that have been the most successful to them, they are not necessarily technical prowess type games.
Well, that's why I think that I would love for them to stream, because then they'll actually work when they stream, and we don't need to worry about like these like crazy
something
textures
breaking
and all this shit. Yeah, I fantasize about a day that I can play my Nintendo games, like pull out an iPad on a plane with a big ass screen, because I have the iPad Pro, so like 12.9
with like a Bluetooth Pro controller,
and then just with any controller I want and play. Like I have a bunch of emulators and stuff on my iPad, and I hooked it up to a DualShock 4. It was way more complicated than it should have been, but just playing games like that is amazing, and like that should be the future. And every time I play on my Switch, I'm like, I wish you were just a little bigger.
I wish it was a lot bigger. I mean, that's like the biggest drawback for the Switch right now, because the portability is fantastic. But I agree with you that I just keep looking at the screen going, why is there not a bigger option?
There will be.
I think
Do you think they're
going to
do like Switch XL?
Oh, they got to.
They're going to do an XL. They're going to do a mini.
A light or whatever.
How can it get smaller?
No, I don't think they'll do a mini. I think it'll be like a weird, like...
It's going to be one where you can't remove the Joy-Cons. Yeah. Stand by that shit.
I don't...
Take it to the bank.
I believe that they'll do one that doesn't have the dock,
this year.
Ooh, yeah. Why? Like a non-dock.
Pokemon. You want to double down on that stuff. You got a family. You got two kids. One of those kids is like, I want to play Pokemon. The other kid's like, I do too. You need two Switches. You already got one. You got to get that dumb little kid, the one that's easier to not break.
I want to call on the best friends who are watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to write into kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And please let me know when during the 3DS life cycle was the 2DS introduced, the
and
one that does
like,
not fold.
Who is this for? It's so stupid. Blah, blah, blah. And the 2DS, my greatest reason that I'm like, I know I'm right about this, because everyone's like, the Switch's whole point is that it can be a console thing or a portable thing. Like, why? If it's in the name, it's Switch. And it's like, okay, it was in the name 3DS. And then they were like, who gives a fuck? It's the 2DS now. Suck it. And everyone's like, all right, I guess.
And they got it right, you know?
You know what I mean?
And bonus points if you can drop in 2DS sales numbers. Thank you, best friends who are watching with us live. Yeah, I think the short answer here, Saber, is no. Nintendo has long maintain their dominance in the industry, sometimes in weirder ways than others.
Yeah.
And they've had some missteps, but I think they're as strong as they ever have been right
now.
And, you know, they will continue to find the next thing to innovate on. Eric Myers writes in, speaking of Nintendo, and says, hey, Tim and Andrea, I got a Nintendo question for you. What unannounced titles do you think we'll see this year? Am I crazy to think we could see Mario Maker 2 announced and released this year? After all, anything is possible in the Decade of Dreams.
Decade of Dreams, baby. It continues. I don't think that you're crazy at all. I think Mario Maker 2 is inevitable. I don't think it'll be Mario Maker Deluxe. I think it will just be the next Mario Maker. It might be called something different. It might not have a 2. But it's going to be a substantial upgrade from what we previously saw. I think if we were to have seen a direct port, we wouldn't have seen it on the 3DS as well. I think that them releasing New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe now is a great way to like separate a bit from Mario Maker, because it is a weird thing when you can make levels like that in the game, like for them to be releasing both. But they're not stupid. They know that if they put this game... It's New Super Mario Bros. U on Switch. It's going to sell gangbusters. Then, maybe later in the year, Mario Maker 2. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not next year or this year, but the following, early next year.
Like Q1 2020?
That sounds good to me. But I wouldn't be surprised if we get it this year. In terms of the games that aren't announced yet, I don't know. We're running out of franchises.
Pikmin 4!
Pikmin is definitely a game we haven't heard from in a long time. I think, you know, the community is clearly hankering for Metroid, right? And it would be great if Nintendo announced that for holiday this year, I think, to lead with something like that. I mean, we also are waiting the new Pokemon RPG. We just keep hearing about it, but we don't know anything about it. Did you see that fan mock-up art that someone posted on Reddit?
Yeah, keep dreaming, baby. Keep dreaming.
I don't know. In a world of where Breath of the Wild was possible.
Yeah, Game Freak. A lot of things going into that. That'd be amazing. Like, that is just... No. I can't even think and dream of that being a reality. Although...
Get hype, Gatorade. Tim Gettys is not letting himself
dreams,
dream.
Baby. No, it's... I'm trying to keep it in. I'm trying to be, you know, not realistic. I'll never be realistic, but, you know.
Thank you, best friends, for writing in. Lord of Pwn says the 2DS came out on October 2013. David Scott said the 2DS was released 18 months after the 3DS. Oh, interesting. We're approaching that time in the Switch's life cycle.
Yeah.
If we're not already there, we're already there. Are we not? Because it was March
2017. Yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've passed that point. Maybe holiday this year.
Holiday this year, baby, with Pokemon.
I don't know. Maybe E3 release.
Ooh. Maybe.
Honestly.
And then they do a Pokemon bundle at holiday. Bam.
Nintendo's fucking... Oh, yeah. We're getting it. Pokemon bundle. That is guaranteed. Yeah. They make some weird choices. I'll never forget. We went in to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in theaters. And we all went in. Then we all went out. And we all looked at our phones. We got an email from Nintendo that's like, hey... There's now a 2DS XL. And we're all like, what the fuck? They're like, yeah, it's coming out like now. So, with a totally new design. So, I don't know, man. They're crazy over there. What will they think of next?
What will they think of next? All right, let's see here. We got time for just a couple more. David Scott. What's good, Tim and Andrea? With games like Anthem and The Division 2 coming out in the next few months, I wanted to ask how many games can fit in the games as a service model before there isn't enough players to distribute between them all? With all the big Battle Royale games and games like Destiny 2 still getting content updates, do you think that the amount of players that will play newer games as service games will be hindered, or do you think they will switch over to Anthem and spread thinner? Do you think this will negatively impact the games industry? Feel free to paraphrase this question. No, you did good, David. Yeah. Keep up the great work, and I'm live on Kind of Funny 4.0.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but
just something for you to think about.
Trevor Starkey, the Patreon producer tiers, if you pay this month, you get them next month.
There you go.
That was in Joey's little.
I wasn't anticipating you reading that out loud, but here we are. Continue with your answer.
My answer here, ladies and gentlemen, is that I feel that there was a time that was true a couple years ago when games as a service were first kind of being introduced as a concept, in a time when MOBAs were running supreme. No one really understood like what they were. And when battle arena games were like popping off, and it was like, oh my God, there's so many similar games in new genres, quote unquote. But now where we're at, I really feel like each one of these games kind of has their own niche. Not entirely, but I was talking about it yesterday. I feel like Ubisoft has kind of created this ecosystem, and in the same way we were talking about earlier, Sony kind of having its release lineup not step on itself.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft is aware of when and how it steps on itself in a way that's kind of beautifully creating a system of people moving on from one Ubi game to the next Ubi game. And if you're in the Ubi ecosystem, you're doing that. I don't really think the Division 2 players are the same people playing Destiny or Anthem, at least not by choice. I feel like when a lot of people were wronged by Destiny 2, in their opinion, so they bounced over here. But then I have a feeling that over the course of the last couple of years with Destiny fixing itself, now the battles between Anthem and Destiny, I feel like those, Activision, EA, that's a bit more of a fight for people's attention. But Destiny 2 is old at this point, so it's Anthem's game to win to come in or Anthem's game to fuck up.
I'm with you that the audiences kind of ebb and flow, and that the way that the publishers have kind of spaced out content really kind of moves people from game to game. I think that that's something that should be considered, that most people who play games of service, like myself, who plays Rainbow Six Siege and Destiny 2, and I'm definitely going to be sinking a lot of time into Anthem and The Division 2, you kind of like get into a mode where you're really heavy into one title for a while, and then the content kind of thins a little bit towards the end of the season, and then you're like, oh, you know what, maybe it's time for a little change of pace, and then you move on to the other game and try that game's season. Now, the problem with this is not necessarily, you know, how much time you spend with each title, but the cost associated with maintaining a presence in all of these games as services, because it can get quite pricey if you're buying season passes in each game that you play. I mean, season passes range, you know, from $20 to $60 a pop or more by the time you add in, you know, microtransactions and skins and everything else that you can buy in live service games. And so that to me is where I think we're really going to have to keep an eye in 2019, how all of these games kind of balance the cost associated, particularly a publisher like Ubisoft, as you mentioned, that has a whole stable of live service games, you know, For Honor, Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, and now The Division 2 is coming out. People are obviously still playing The Division. And so it's like, how do I pay for all that? It would be really awesome if a publisher like Ubisoft said, we're going to give you like a Ubi Play pass. Right? Where you get for one bulk price, you get access to all of the seasons of content in all of our live service games. That would be amazing. And get like custom, you know, skins or custom weapons or things that are just for people who have like this master pass. So you can go in and try out all of these things, because they already have crossover customizable elements, you know, seeing, you know, the For Honor inspired skins in Rainbow Six, or seeing, you know, the Assassin's Creed inspired stuff inside For Honor, things like that.
Yeah.
So I would like that. Maybe Ubisoft, if you could make that happen and then just give me a cut, because my idea is brilliant.
It's going to happen. I really feel like we're moving towards that, and things like the Xbox Games Pass prove that, right?
Right.
Like that's the model that we're going towards next generation. So
all about those subscription services.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, we do have a squad up today. Woo. Since that will be the end of reader mail on this episode. Chaz JS writes in and says, hey, Tim and Andrew, me and a few friends play Destiny 2 on Xbox One and have never managed to get enough people to do a raid. We clear all the weekly challenges every week, but we need the KF community to help us out and walk us through some raids. We are in the UK. Oi, governor. So timing might be difficult with a lot of KF BFs. I don't know. The KF community is strong over there. My gamer tag is ChazJS. So that's ChazJS. Again, ChazJS. And our clan name is Cucky Lunts. Because whenever we lose, it's because the other team are lucky. I think you can figure out the rest. P.S. The London meetup last year was amazing. Thank you for coming and signing my Team Fat shirt. And thanks, Tim, for signing my brother's bomber jacket. Or signing my bomber jacket. Hashtag Team
Tim. Hell yeah, baby. Team Tim, baby.
All right, so now it's time to look at your wrong. And the very second one, if you want to start here, I'm looking up that one from John to see if that's legit.
John says,
enough.
Sony didn't announce that Spider-Man is the best-selling PlayStation exclusive of all time. They announced that it was the fastest-selling PlayStation exclusive. And that's what I thought from earlier. That's what I was saying, where I feel like it was just in the time.
Well, I'm looking to make sure. Because he did not, link a source.
Tagless O2 says there's a game with dick physics, and that game is Mount Your Friends. That is true, and those things are incredible.
And there's also genital jousting.
Yeah.
There is. But aren't those just dicks?
Yes, they are just literal dicks jousting.
But hey, it's still dick physics.
There's still physics. There's still dicks. I'm here for it.
Okay, so according to VentureBeat, with this new announcement that happened from Sony Interactive Entertainment, they write, with this milestone of Spider-Man selling 9 million copies, it could be the PlayStation 4's best performing exclusive. Uncharted 4 at Thief's End had the previous highest sold mark with 8.7 million copies moved as of January 2017. Of course, that was some time ago, and Uncharted 4 may have moved past the 9 million mark since then. Obviously, it's been on sale numerous times since then. But Uncharted 4 also came out on May 10th, 2016. Marvel's Spider-Man is outpacing it.
Gran Turismo 1 sold 10.85 million. So, I don't think it's...
So, I guess Spider-Man is poised to overtake.
Good word. Good use of the word. Word of the day, poised. Leave it in the comments.
Poised. But thank you for writing in. This is exactly what kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong is for.
Mm-hmm. New dates for you. Zaire writes in and says, Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is coming to Switch on April 23rd. A lot of 2DS, a lot of 3DS.
There's a lot of editorializing and you're wrong today, Tim.
That's it. That's it. We're good. We did pretty good.
A lot of you wrote in about the 2DS.
Yeah, thank you.
Interesting.
Thank
you.
Shout out to the 2DS.
Shout out to the 2DS, man. Get so much hate.
I did ask them for the sales numbers for the 2DS, and it looks like as of September 2018, Nintendo sold 9.6 million 2DS units worldwide. It's a lot of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Is that more than the Wii U? No, Wii U was what, 13 million?
13, yeah.
Mm.
13 million.
Excuse me, the nanobiologist. I did not forget to mention Ghost Recon Wildlands. I definitely mentioned it.
Did you?
Rewind the tape.
Rewind it, dude.
I don't remember you doing it.
All right, that is it for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Don't forget you can download this podcast on your favorite podcast service. If you like the show, maybe hit that subscribe button. Maybe if you really like the show, leave us a review, preferably 5 stars.
Please do.
We'll accept 4 stars. Anything less, please just don't waste
your
time writing
a review.
Only
5 stars today.
Spreading positivity. Remember, if you don't have something nice to say. Also, if you want to hit that subscribe button over at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, we've got a bunch of new shows coming in Kind of Funny 4.0 for you guys. It's going to be an exciting year. Lots more. What's your favorite of the new shows that are coming, Tim?
Favorite new shows? I want to see KFAF doesn't exist yet, so I can't wait till tomorrow to see what it is.
A limited amount of time to get that together.
Yeah, they're working on it. That's part of the fun of it, though. It's just, you know what I mean? We have the concept.
The fun of it.
It's Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.
Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Tomorrow's hosts are Jared and Mr. Gary Witta.
Witta Wednesday.
Thursday, I'm back with Fran Mirabella.
Ooh.
Doing Kind of Funny Games Daily. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Friday, it's
Jared and me.
Oh, my
Jared
God.
And I haven't hosted together in a while.
And later today, if you are a Patreon Silver member on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, we are recording the Kind of Funny Games cast. Greg's gone, so it's going to be me, it's going to be Fran, it's going to be Jared, and Andrea's joining us.
Me!
Yeah. That's really fun.
Tim, I haven't been on the Gamescast in a hot minute.
Yeah? Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's been a long time.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And by a lot of fun, he means there's going to be a lot of arguing. If you want to figure out what exactly that means, you should tune in later today. Thanks, everybody, for today. It's been our pleasure to serve.